Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College presents Liberty Mail with the student fellows of Faith and Freedom.
Welcome back to Liberty Mail. I'm Katie Kenline, and we're coming to you live from the underground studio at Grove City College with the Institute for Faith and Freedom. Today, I am joined by a very special guest, Liliana Zylstra. She's a fellow here with us at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City, and she is the president of our campus's Life Advocates Club. We've worked together for 2 years in many different states with Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, and this summer, she interned in Susan B. Anthony's D.C. office. I wanted our listeners to hear more about a story that she wrote about a month ago for the American Spectator, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is a tragic human rights issue that just happened in England. And I want to talk about it because I think it's something that unfortunately is not going away and is not going to stay just in England. So, Lily, would you tell us about the human rights tragedy that you wrote about that just happened in England?
Well, thank you, Katie. I'm really excited to be here. So this story is really about the National Health Service in the UK and the UK courts. So Indy Gregory was an 8-month-old baby girl with a mitochondrial disease that required constant medical care to keep her alive. And her parents, as you would expect, were committed to doing everything possible to try to treat her disease. But the NHS doctors and ultimately the judges and the legal system had a different idea about what was best for Indy. So her doctors essentially said, sorry, we've tried our best, but we think it's time to give up on treatment, to take Indy off life support with the full intention that she will die as a result. And her parents, of course, are not on board with that decision. Because of the way the healthcare system works in the UK, they don't necessarily have the option mm-hmm. to just go find another doctor. And so the Italian government heard about this, and Prime Minister Meloni actually granted Indy Italian citizenship so she could leave England and transfer to a hospital in the Vatican. And the doctors there said that they wanted to try a treatment that they thought would allow Indy to survive without artificial ventilation.
Mm-hmm. So there are other treatment options.
Exactly.
But the and UK all of, government.
Yeah, yeah. And all of this was being offered for free from Italy and the Vatican. And so again, her parents are not allowed to just take their daughter and leave for Rome. They have to get permission from the government first. Mm-hmm. So they take this to a judge. They're denied. They appeal, go to a second judge. They're denied again. And ultimately, baby Indy dies on November 13th. And one of the judges responsible for this, he wrote, quote, I do not think she experiences any meaningful quality of life. Mm. And then he also said that his decision was in her best interests. Mm. Her parents, one of the statements they made that I think really sums this up is, we know she is disabled, but you don't just let disabled people die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is not a new problem, unfortunately. And what we see with the government here making, it's so tragic. It's made more tragic by the fact that there was treatment being offered her. You would think if you're those parents, you fight for your child's right to live. You fight for a better life for your child. And the idea that there was treatment available for her that was going to be offered for her free and the British government said, you cannot leave this hospital. You mm-hmm. cannot go outside of the country. I mean, that would feel like the worst form of tyranny ever. And so, unfortunately, we know that this has happened other times in recent years. So an important thing for our listeners to know is that there have many of these times been alternative mm-hmm. treatments available, but the government intervenes or mm-hmm. or holds back the parents from which could be a huge problem with parental rights in England. And the government then literally sentences this child and others to death by saying, you cannot go get treatment elsewhere. We are ceasing, no matter if you pay or not, we are ceasing to provide life support for this child. So would you tell us you wrote some about the context of, there's a similar situation that happened in 2018. Mm-hmm. That's also just horrible too. But would you tell us about that also?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Katie. Baby Indy was essentially a prisoner of the state. They wouldn't let her leave. And this has happened before. The story of baby Alfie is startlingly similar to what happened to Indy and her family. Alfie Evans was another child from the UK who died in 2018 in almost the same situation. And similarly, the Italian government was offering help. They even brought a helicopter to London with medical equipment to bring Alfie to Rome, and they were stopped by the government and the police. Charlie Gard is another little boy that this happened to as well. And we know of at least one adult that this has happened to. So the cruelty of the United Kingdom's government does not show any signs of stopping.
No, it's terrible. And we see that it's more important than ever before for people to be fighting for a culture of life. And this seems like the exact opposite of a culture of life. It says, you know, the government, we get to tell you when you live or not, if you live or die. And the government's not protecting innocent life, which it's interesting because oftentimes when we look back at governments who've not protected innocent life, governments who have turned a blind eye to are okay with murder and not they won't recognize it as evil. We look back now and we say, oh my goodness, this is, you know, these are atrocities in human history. But meanwhile, this is happening just across the ocean. And honestly, I don't know. Did we see that much of a response, news response about this? Is there the outrage that there should be from the public about this? I would say we both probably think no. Like where people need to hear about this and hear about why it's more important than ever to fight for a culture of life. I don't know if you have anything to say about like making sure this story is told so that people know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there should be more outrage. I think most people don't have any idea that this is happening. And when they do hear about it, the story is shocking to most people, as it should be. But it stems from a worldview that's really not that uncommon today. As you know, I talk a lot about abortion, which is another important ethical issue. And there are some differences with that. But both of these issues get at the question, what makes humans valuable? And I think we have to be able to answer that. So there are really two main ways to answer this question. There's the substance view of human value, which I hold. And this is that we're all equal regardless of our abilities. And we have intrinsic value because of the kind of thing that we are as human beings. And then there's the function or performance view of human value, which says that the value of your life is connected to what you're able to do, what you can accomplish, or even what you experience. And so if you have a disability, if you're suffering in some way, it might actually be in your best interest to die. And this is behind, of course, these stories in the UK. It's also behind what we're seeing in Canada now, where you can apply for medical assistance in dying if you're disabled, poor, or mentally ill.
The poor part is the horrific part that they say, oh, you know, we're not going to help you. We're not, which is funny for countries that are like welfare states to say, you know what? It's just better if your life has no purpose and value. It's horrible that a government would come out and say that.
Yeah, these are people that need help, and the government is telling them, sorry, we can't do anything for you, but we do have this. We do have medical assistance in dying.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's also the worldview that I think allows many people to justify abortion.
Yeah. Well, we see it's being disguised. All of this is disguised. You know, we have that's best for you. We have what's best for you in mind. But when we hear a court say, so as we talk about our reactions to the ethical side of this, it shows us so much about the culture and time we're living in. To hear the justice, like you said earlier, say that it was in the baby's best interest to withdraw treatment, like as if he were to know for this child, oh, I think this child doesn't want to live. I don't think that the legal system has able to know that about a child. And then he said by letting her die in Britain, that's in her best interest because he doesn't think that she experiences any meaningful quality of life, like you said, and sadly, she never will. So here's the legal system defining her life, the government saying, you know, we know your potential, we know your value, we know your worth. And I think that this is a perfect example of the performance basic intrinsic. There's no intrinsic value. It's all what are you able to offer to our world? And so then we see absolutely horrifying statements like this by a judge in a justice in the legal system in Britain. And then I love, if you want to read the quote that I don't know if you see the quote that I love that you said just about dignity.
Yeah. Yeah. So I ended the article with this. No amount of suffering and no disability can take away the value of a human being's life and that person's right to keep it. Those who deny this right must be held accountable.
Yeah, I think that's a very powerful statement because just we see the ethics of this. Everything starts crumbling away when you say, oh, your life can be defined. This is how we got to what we have in Canada. And I'm sure that it will go further because when you start to say, oh, life, you know, maybe it's valuable inside the womb. Maybe it's not. Maybe when you're 8 months old, like these babies, maybe it's valuable. Maybe your life's not worth anything. Then we see older people, like the adult that you mentioned was 19 years old. She was 19. Say, oh, maybe her life's valuable. Maybe her life's not. And then we see it all through life. And it becomes really, really dangerous to have this subjective, who knows if your life is valuable or not. Yeah. How do you see like this connected to the abortion debate and conversation in the U.S. about creating a culture of life and not just laws, but how we influence culture with the idea of it's important to value life? Do you see this like connected, what we see in England and here?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's connected. Abortion is a complex issue that people have a lot of different views on. But I do think that this view of human value really is behind a lot of people's view on abortion. Because look at how they try to justify it. They talk about, or some people talk about, you know, it's better for the child than to live a life of suffering or poverty. Mm-hmm. And especially with a disability. Mm-hmm. So many cases in the U.S. and all over the world, if a woman is pregnant with a baby with Down syndrome or really any other disability, doctors are pressuring them to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And with Down syndrome especially, it's really scary because countries in Europe, Iceland is one of them, they have no children with Down syndrome. They're all gone.
Well, and they say, oh, we've eradicated Down syndrome, as if they were fixing the genome so that these children were living what they think is, you know, quote unquote, normal life, or that they only had two of this 21st chromosome. But it's really the fact is that they test prenatal testing and then they require women to have abortions. So it's horrible too how the government's phrasing that also. Yeah, that's a very heartbreaking thing to bring up too.
Exactly. And it all goes back to this idea that you're not necessarily valuable just in light of being a human being, but you have to have something else extra. You have to be able to do certain things or experience certain things, and then will allow your life to have value.
Mm. Yeah, and that's really sad. And I think that's why we fight also from a Christian worldview to say, you know, you are created in the beautiful image of God. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. But why we continue to have this conversation and say to everyone, regardless of their view of God, you know, you have inherent intrinsic worth. And I'm so grateful for the work that you do, how you lead on campus here and in all different organizations to make sure that we continue to push this message out that's really essential and is the foundation to many, many things is our view of, does our country have a culture of life? Are we working to create a deep culture of life? Or are we okay with this idea of, oh, does your life have worth? I don't know. But I'm so grateful that you're standing up for an intrinsic value of life and want everyone to hear that message loud and clear. So I'm grateful that you joined us today. We are really excited for the episode coming up next week with Concerned Women for America CEO Penny Nance, who is also has done a lot of work on the dignity of life issue. And I'm very grateful you could join us today, Lily. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We will have this article from the American Spectator that Lily wrote linked in the bio, and we'd love for you to read that. Please share it. Make sure people know about this issue that has happened repeatedly now in England, and continue having conversations about this so that we're ahead of the game here and continue to be working toward a culture of life here in the United States. Thank you, Lily.
Thank you so much, Katie. It's great to be here.
For more information on the Institute for Faith and Freedom, visit faithandfreedom.com.